Let's do some testimonies. Shall we do some testimonies? All right, first off, who came to the Hearing God's Voice class on Friday? Now, get up, stand up, and just come up here. Yeah, I mean, like, literally get up on the stage. Everyone who came, now you won't fit on the stage if you're here. But everyone who came to the Hearing God's Voice class, just get up, stand up, and come up here. All right. There's area on the stage that seems to not be filled there, Steve. There's area behind you that's empty. Never mind, it's filling. All right. Good. Now somebody's going to play the keyboards. That's a joke. Okay, now, those of you who came, if you felt it was a good experience, raise your hand. Interesting. How many of you who came think you're going to hear the will, you're going to hear the voice of God before this class is over? How many of you already heard the voice of God? Uh-huh. You see this? Are you watching? I want you jealous. Okay. Does anybody want to share their experience? You would like to share your experience?
I don't want to.
Microphone.
I don't want to.
No.
Oh.
I don't want to, but I was sitting over there, and I cannot hold still. Like, right now, I'm shaking.
Come on, Jesus.
I just feel like God's want me to tell you what's... I might have to sit down for this.
You go ahead.
I just feel like I need to tell you what God's been doing to me just this last weekend.
Hi, my name is Steve, by the way.
I came Friday, and honestly, I kind of came by accident. We went and got our taxes done, and Hannah and I were like, yeah, we should go. Vibe. It's our one night home together. We don't get that very often, but we decided, well, we feel like we should go. So I came, and as we started watching the video, I kept thinking, you know, oh, this is just going to be more real helpful tips, but it's not for me. You know, it's not going to work for me. And I've always been the kind that all my life I've been trying to find God's voice, trying to hear it, trying to move into that intimate, you know, hearing God's voice, talking to God, and I never felt like I was there. And as I was listening to him, I kept thinking, this guy is me. Everything he's saying is exactly how I felt, what I've done, what I've tried. And as he was going through these steps to help you hear God's voice and you know, to press in on him, I just something was going on inside of me. And by the end of the movie...
Hit pause. Does anyone relate to what he's saying so far? Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
By the end of the movie, I couldn't wait for Tim to shut up so I could go pray.
Come on.
And
love it.
Find this out for myself. And I'm telling you right now, it wasn't a question as if I was going to hear it. It was a question, you are going to hear, and let's get to it.
Let's get to it.
And if you know me, this thing for me is not me. I hate getting up and talking in front of people. I go away from attention. I don't like attention brought on myself. But God, this is the Spirit of God in me. I'm telling you right now, this is not fake. I've been to churches before and where they tried to force this on you. And I tried to take part of it, but I knew it wasn't real. That was fake. And I thought, God, this can't be you. This is fake. And guys, I wish you guys could see what I see. I'm not from here. I didn't grow up in this church. But guys, I would kill to have had this, what you guys have going on now, then.
Hmm. Mm. We shouldn't kill, Steve.
Figuratively.
Oh, figuratively. What did he say to you?
I went out Saturday, bought a 400-page journal.
Yeah, you did.
I have no doubt I will fill every page top to bottom. So I went back and I started praying, and like I said, it wasn't a matter of if I was going to hear, it was a matter of I'm hearing. Just calm yourself and listen. And this is the first thing that God said to me. He said, Steve.
What did you say? Say that again.
Calm yourself.
He said, calm yourself and listen.
And listen.
That too. And the first thing he said to me was, Steve, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know many of you don't know my personal life, but there's been some areas in my life where I cannot hardly accept God's forgiveness because I just don't feel like it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, I was able to defeat that and say, you know, devil, that only comes from you, now get out of here. And God spoke through and he said, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm. And he does.
And then he just went on to tell me how much he loves me.
Yep.
And I had to ask him just a simple question that I just said, God, what do you got in store for me? And he only put on two words. He said, great things. And I was kind of thinking, that's kind of vague, but okay. But as we came up here and Tim was praying over us, I was my mind was in a mind of prayer. I was kind of just here and over there, just kind of praying. And all of a sudden, I stopped, and I found myself saying the words, great things, great things, great things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, God. Now, he didn't really clear up what that meant. But all I know is that God has great things for me.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't like to reveal too much to us. It makes us stumble. I like to know more than he wants to reveal, because he's trying to form Christ in us. And if he tells us all the stuff he wants to do, we start getting focused on the wrong things. We focus on what's coming instead of on him, instead of on relationship with him. So he only reveals what we need to know now to keep us on the path of obedience and love and to keep us in his love. Can you guys give him a hand just for sharing? I'm going to let... Are you guys excited? You guys are excited. All right, I'm going to let you guys sit down so you don't have to stand the whole time somebody else is sharing. But I'm going to real soon here open it up for just general testimony. So you don't feel like, man, Steve got to talk and I didn't get to talk. That's not what's happening here. But I do want to just mention a few things. Clay Mass texted me at 10:31 p.m. and I was still here going strong, which is fun. Because when you get home from church at 11 o'clock at night, how many of you know that that's good? Come on, Jesus. He's doing it. Austin, he's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing what he does. He's answering the prayers. I get a text from Clay Mast, and he says this. Is it supposed to work on the first time? I can't read mine without crying. And then Carl Chupp, last week when the Spirit fell on us in here, bless him. Bless him, Lord. When the Spirit fell on us in here, Carl Chupp, when we were praying for the worship leaders, he just shook his head with this smile on his face, because when he knows something in the Spirit, he gets real happy about it, like even as though it's already happened, and he's like, yeah. And he kept pointing at Clay Mass saying, he's going to write songs. He's going to write songs. Clay texted me yesterday, I got a song! I just want to read something real quick to you. This is Hannah Goss. So, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm giving all the love to that family right now. I'm not meaning to. I apologize. I asked her permission if I can share this. She says this. Hi, Tim. I'm just sitting here shaking. I've been longing to talk to God and hear his voice answer me for so long. I've always wondered what I was lacking, and I thought that I wasn't a good enough Christian somehow, or I would have been able to hear him. God is just blowing my mind. He has been talking to me all along, and I always brushed it away as my own mind and thoughts butting in. God is telling me, you would pray and beg and ask me to speak to you, and as soon as I would speak, you would stop listening. He's also speaking to me through scriptures, making them come alive. He's chuckling at me. He's saying, and you thought my word could be boring. Isn't that good, by the way? And you thought my word could be boring. I lost my place. Where is this text? Is so tiny. I can't get enough of my prayer time. I used to do my prayer time at the end of the day, partly out of duty, but now I told Steve, how will I fit school and housework into my time with Jesus? And then I found that he talks to me while I clean. Imagine! I'm carrying on a conversation with Jesus as I scrub the floor. This is the Jesus I've been craving. I've been praying for specific people in our church, and God showed me a vision and words for each one of them. And God told me, I didn't give it to you so you could have something to fill your journal. I gave it to you so you could share it. Then she went on and shared something with me that made me not cry, because there's a difference. There's levels of crying. Made me weep. Weep. All right. Who's next? Hold it up right to your mouth. Love you.
I had a lot going on in my head this morning, but one thing that I've been thinking about this last month, and I don't know how much this pertains, were we supposed to share about?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
What the Lord's doing in your life. Give him glory.
Okay. Because I don't know. Everything gets all mixed up from beginning to end. But what has been coming to my mind is that 2 years ago on Super Bowl Sunday, I went away by myself to spend some time at Sandy Cove, and I kept thinking, I needed to do this, I needed to do this, and I was there, and I could not, I just couldn't get, I thought if I would go away that I would be able to be hearing from God better. I needed to get some of the distractions away and to go away. And of all the things that I took to do, the one thing that I feel myself drawn to is that I love listening to the CD of, is it Hinds Feet, In High Places. And it seemed like I came away that week, and the only thing I came away with is this deep sense of that my name was much afraid. That I took upon that name, that was what resonated inside of me, that the girl in the book, if you've never read the book, read it, it's good, it's a great book, but the girl in the book, her name was Much Afraid, and I feel like that's what I was, that was my name. It's something I have struggled with for a lot of years. And so many things in my life, I have looked at it being afraid. And anyhow, now that I was thinking about it, it's 2 years. And it seems like over the course of the last 6 months, God has been whispering to me that you will get a new name. Mm-hmm. But in the book, she had a thorn. And God, the good shepherd, needed to take it out. But she told him, she said, will you bind me to the altar? So I want it out, but I will need you to bind me to the altar so that I will not fight against you trying to take it out of me. And I find myself being much afraid, but I will fight against him. Very, very much. I'm putting my energy fighting against him instead of giving myself over to him to do what needs to be done in me. And a month ago, through secular counseling, it's amazing how God uses things. She said, you have to write. If we're going to work on things, you have to write. I need you to do this for me, for you. This is what I'm asking of you. And I just want to say that it has, God is so gentle and so faithful. And I don't know why when I sat here this morning, I guess it was kind of a thinking about Super Bowl Sunday and where I was 2 years ago and the loneliness of feeling like I was walking as much afraid. And I felt like if Tim opened it up for sharing, that I needed to stand up and say that if you are much afraid, if that is a name you have too, that he is very gentle. He is a he's the Good Shepherd, a very gentle and loving God. And my verse for the last couple months has been, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I went on to study the last part. Learn from me.
Mm-hmm. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
And he is beautiful. And the way that he is, I guess I'm sometimes I'm scared to say it because I'm afraid I will fall back in it, but depression has been a huge thorn, thorn for me. And it has just been so good to let him, to come to him and rest, and to feel chains that I have felt around me for a lot of years coming off.
Yeah. Do you have your new name yet?
The one that I don't know if it's God giving it to me or me trying to make Mighty Woman of God.
That's right.
And Beloved.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Come on, Carmen. You're second. You got to go second. Should I go ahead and hold your microphone? Or are you going to put it close enough to your mouth?
Yeah, no, give me some.
Okay. It's not close enough.
I'm ready.
Bless her, Lord.
I'm not going to go through, I shared this with the group of people that were here Wednesday night. I've been through a lot from my childhood on up. Basically, from the time I was probably 11, when I found out about my dad's first affair, I had been really struggling at even that young of an age of feeling truly loved. Mm-hmm. As I was getting older, Satan was really doing his work. Anyway, most of my life I grew up knowing that God was perfect, knowing that he created everything and never made a mistake except me. I was that one mistake. And that's not a fun way. And Satan knew what to say and how to say it and when to say it when you're at your lowest anyway. And not a lot of people know this, but I had tried to commit suicide twice when we lived in Arkansas. Thank you, Lord, I did not succeed at that. Anyway, A lot of you know I have a lot of health issues, but and marriage issues and a lot of issues. But you know what? We all do. We really all do. But
is that a fact? Do we all have issues?
But I just thought it was me. God loved everybody. He chose everybody but me. And these chains were so strong. Beth and Dennis and George and Nora sort of, because I kept saying, I want more. There's got to be more to marriage. There's got to be more to God, to life. Mm-hmm. And they started a Bible study with me and planted that seed. It just maybe I wasn't as big of a mistake as I thought I was all these years. And they would water it, and it would get covered with dirt. And then they'd water it a little more, and it would try to come up. And as soon as it would come up, it would just get covered again. Then Tim and Carrie.
Ambushed you.
Sort of. And
very sneaky.
Yeah, you did. Up to last weekend. And I will tell you, it was a life-changing experience. I think by Saturday afternoon, the heavy weight, the 150, 200-pound weight just pressing on my shoulders for so many years was gone.
Come on.
The chains are broken, and I know that I am God's precious child. I am His princess.
Come on.
And he tells me, and he just keeps telling me, I am who I say I am. He died for me. And if He can do that for me, I know He can do it for everyone.
Yep.
This morning on my way here.
Can you just hit pause?
Sure.
Do you know what that does to a pastor's heart? I stood out next to this lady's truck a day that she, SUV, whatever you want to call it, a day that she drove out of this church, and I pleaded with her not to go, and she was telling me, I'm God's mistake, everything's wrong, and she drove away from me, and I was helpless to stop her. And I even told her, these are the devil's lies, these are the devil's lies, and she said, just let me go, and she drove off the parking lot. Do you know what that does to a pastor's heart? To see that woman become this woman.
By God's grace.
That's him. That's him. While you're talking, I saw a halo on you, and I don't actually believe in halos, but in the painting, meaning the symbols, that means it's a saint. You're a saint. You're a saint. You're clean. You're sanctified. You're devoted to him. You're holy and dearly loved. You're his child. You're precious to him.
And okay, I finally believe that.
Yes,
for the
you do.
First time in my life, I finally know that God died for me and he loves me. Some Saturday nights, I've been going to a different church so that my husband would go.
Sneaky.
And then Sunday's coming here.
That's fine, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Dennis does that too.
But as I'm driving here today, I get this text, and I know you're not supposed to read text, and never do it. Please don't ever do it.
Don't do what she's doing. Don't. The other part about seeking God and receiving his love, do that part. Don't text and drive.
Yeah. But I read it anyway. And my husband said he knows it's time. He comes back here. And he knows it's out of fear, and I keep telling him, fear is nothing but of Satan.
Yeah.
And so then my son comes today.
What's up, buddy?
And that just makes me the happiest person alive. So hopefully, just keep praying And I know next Sunday, my family will be here. And instead of being a, and there's nothing wrong with the back seat, not saying the back seat of the pews, they're just as blessed, they're just as, but I would basically come because that's what I had to do.
Pay the God tax.
But no more.
No.
Nope. I'm going to be a front pew churchgoer who's ready to tell anybody and everybody.
And
trust,
like,
and pray.
And you're like this, you're like, oh man, if I don't go to prayer meeting, I might miss something.
I have been at church more this week, even including like the last weekend, than I think I have been in like 2 months put together. But loving every minute of it.
Because it's all about Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. 12:22. It's 12:22, so I better let Aaron talk, and then we better get into the ministry time. Aaron, you're just lucky that I'm nice, because I would shut you down normally. It's 12:22.
I give you permission now in case I start rambling.
Well, you know, just don't do a sermon.
But anyway. Okay. Pray for me as I have 1,000 thoughts rolling around in my head. But I want to start by saying that I know ever since I was small, you know, I was taught how awesome God is and how much he has so much good things for you. And when we really buy into that and we're like, yeah, I know, I know. But then, you know, you start going off on your own way and you still trust that he's going to bless you and you still trust that he loves you. But it's hard to really have a grasp on what he actually wants to do. Mm-hmm. Long story short, you know, I've been better. I've had my struggles, but I've been better here recently and I was really thinking I was doing okay. So we went to the conference, and it was awesome, and I'm not going to get into that because obviously everyone knows that was the case, okay? But I came out of that with the evil one really tried to get to me there because, you know, I saw a vision of what he was going to do, and it didn't happen that way.
You mean God?
Yes.
You saw a vision of what God was going to do?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's be clear.
I saw what I thought he was going to do in me. And it didn't happen that way. But I left there, coming in here Sunday morning, coming in here through this last week, and God kept showing me. He said, I got better things than all these things that you thought were okay. And the one awesome thing, I just thought of this, so thank you, Lord. The one thing that the guys kept saying all weekend, last weekend, was he's going to do greater things than you can imagine. And the devil tried to trip me up that night because he didn't do the things I thought I imagined. You know what I mean? But I walked through this past week, and he indeed did greater things than I could ever imagine. I walk in through, and I've been the same way as everyone else. Like, I run to hear God. I want to hear God. I want to hear God. And then I would do the exact same thing. I would just kind of shut him off and try to put him in my little box of this is what he was supposed to say, and he didn't say it. So this week, when we had the class the other night, same thing. The first thing, I didn't even get to my seat, and God said, you got to read the scriptures more. You have to get deep in the word. And everyone needs to do that. But for me, I need to eat it inside, outside, upside, downside, because everyone, yeah, you got it. Everyone, I mean, I've been spoken over so many times that my personality as it is, and I don't use that as a cop-out, but I'm not always received as well as I can be. I'm a little obnoxious. We're going to be honest. Is this honest? I'm at
the
altar.
You're always honest.
But anyway, but that's me, you know, and I don't use that as a cop-out. I like to be honest, and I like to tell you how I feel, and that's not always well-received. But the point being that, you know, there are people that do speak against me, and that's going to happen, whether it's through the outside or it doesn't matter. I just know that I need to have an answer, and that's the thing that God kept pressing in on me. And I went through, and I had another journal writing yesterday, and it wasn't mandatory. I just did it. But the thing that he spoke to me yesterday was, it's kind of for me, but he gave me a vision of what he's going to do through me. And Tim, if you won't mind, is it okay to tell them what you told me. Can you tell him?
What? Oh, you're volunteering me to do sharing?
I want you to tell.
So I'm violating my own rules. All right, fine. Are you going to sit down, though? Because this is getting, I mean, like, people are hungry, and, like, and we want to get to the, and some other people are, like, we got to do ministry yet for a couple hours. Oh, I'm wasting time. Oh, fine. So it's 4 a.m. What? Well, some of you are hungry to get up here and pray. You're doing who was it? Just saying, shut up, Tim. 4 a.m, and I'm starting to worry about stuff. You know how you like pretend like God's far away in the clouds somewhere, and so you're thinking about things, and you're going, I wonder what God's going to do about this, and instead of realizing the truth that he's with you right now, and he's got it, and he's not worried. So I start to talk to him instead of worry about problems. And he starts to talk back to me, and we enjoyed, I don't know how long was this conversation between God and I, where it was almost audible, and the stuff he was saying was making me weep. So I'm there, laying there in my bed weeping, and one of the things he said was, I said, God, you're just doing it. I see you working in everyone's life. I'm getting, my phone is blowing up with emails and texts every which way, and I can't get a spare moment. It's just great. Everyone. And I said, and you're talking to Aaron, and he's hearing you. And God said, Tim, I have longed for this kind of closeness with Aaron for so long. Thank you for bringing him to me. And then God told me thank you like 4 different times. And that wrecked me. I mean, Mark, I just was weeping. What's the God of the universe doing thanking me? You know what I'm saying? Like, for his own, anyway. All I did was obey, you know? But that's the word. Is that what you wanted me to share? And then I said, I got to share that with Aaron, because look at that. Look at God's heart for Aaron. He said, I have longed for this kind of closeness with Aaron for so long. That's his heart. He longs for closeness with you people. He longs for it. He longs with me. He longs for it. He loves you, buddy. Thank you.
I had him share that because my first thought was, are you serious? Like,
yeah, he's serious.
I knew he loved me. Like I said, I knew he loved me, but the seriousness, the longing, I said, are you serious? Like me? Everything I've done, everything I've walked through, the ways I've turned my back, the this, the that, the this, the that. And over and over and over again, it just got pounded into my head. Are you serious? Like, you doubted me? Like, this is me, him to me, you know? And that's the word I got for myself was, you got to lay it down. I have so many plans for you. I have so much I want you to do. You got to humble yourself. Come before my throne and say, look, Lord, whatever. And that's my little sermon to everyone. It's just to, it's not easy for me to let go of my will because I'm the way that he created me. But I'm so thankful that I was able to kind of get out of my comfort zone and do the things that I'm not comfortable doing. And even standing up here right now, like, I love talking, but I don't love having it mean anything whatsoever. So... just being honest.
This is only the beginning, Aaron. All right, Dennis Yatouzis, why don't you give us an altar call? And just so you know, like, somebody has said, how long are we supposed to stay with the prayer time? Are we supposed to wait till the song is over? Look, as soon as we start this prayer time, you're dismissed. You can leave. That's fine. All right? Like, I don't want you to feel constrained to stay and watch other people get prayed for. That makes no sense to me. So just so you know that when people begin to come forward to pray and we start to sing, we don't need to have somebody stand up here and say, you are dismissed, okay? Because I know some of you don't want to stay, and then you're like, well, I feel obligated to. Don't worry about that, all right? But please do come and pray.
All right. Last night, I got up 1 o'clock in the morning, and Beth wasn't in bed, so I went out front, and she's in the living room. And I said, what are you doing out here? And she said, oh, do you want to tell what happened? Mm-hmm. Okay. And she was worried about our son, Caleb. He works at Hardee's, and he had to close last night. And she was laying in bed, and she didn't hear him come home. And then she heard an ambulance on the road, and then she imagined that something had happened to him. And then she got afraid, and And she got up and she was pacing and she didn't know what to do about it. And so then she just got worried. And then she called him and he's downstairs in bed. And
he didn't get his dog. I had his dog and he always comes to get his dog. And he never got his dog. So I thought, where is
he? Yeah.
That ambulance?
No. He's got a little dog. He's got a little dog, a dachshund, and it sleeps with him, and it won't settle down when he's not there, so she comes to bed with me. So when he comes home, he always comes in and says, I'm home, and he gets his dog. So he never got the dog, and the other dogs didn't bark, so I thought he wasn't home. But it got worse, because after I thought I was okay and went back to bed, I remembered Jacob wasn't home. And I said, Lord, you told me you got him. You got him. That's not who that ambulance was for. And I did fall asleep then. So, but I let that fear in. And it's crippling. And it stopped everything for a few minutes. But just a few minutes. That's good for me. That's good progress. There.
So I want to read a scripture. And then I'll make this as quick as I can. This is Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. One was a slave woman, and the other was a free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in an ordinary way, but his son, but his son by the woman was born as a result of a promise. A promise. And I'm skipping down to verse 28. And now, brother, like Isaac, you are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share an inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brother, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. On Friday night, one of the things the guy said was that fear is the... How did he turn
faith
it?
Faith in reverse.
Yeah, faith in reverse. And that fear is faith in Satan, is what somebody else said. That faith, yes. The one thing that came up today was fear and fear and fear and fear. And fear, and last night, and fear. And what happens is there's a battle inside us. You have the slave person, and God's calling us to be the free person. God's calling all the time saying, Dennis, I got this for you. And I say, oh, no, you know. Yeah. No, Dennis, come up, up here, freedom, beauty, me, up here. And we go, no, but he's got that for everybody. He's got this up here. And there's a battle that goes inside us between the flesh and the spirit. And it goes on in each and every one of us. It goes on in every organization. It went on in the promised land. It went on with Egypt. And they're going to the promised land. And Egypt kept calling back. They said it was better in Egypt. They had better graves in Egypt. We should go back to Egypt. What's the promised land for? But see, we battle this thing. And it's inside of us. The two coinage of the kingdom are faith and love. Faith and love. Mm-hmm. What interferes with that? Fear. Kills it dead. Now, I'm going to pray for my wife against the spirit of fear. Anybody that needs prayer, please come up. If you have a spirit of fear or you're plagued by fear, please come up. Get free of that thing.
Yep.
Jesus sets them free. Please come up and get prayer. Don't leave without it. Get free. Get set free of that thing. Even if it's a momentary thing that comes on you once in a while, mm-hmm. Get prayer for it. Let's get protection for that thing.
I got to add to that. I'm sorry, guys. If you're looking at this and what has occurred and you haven't, so to speak, been part of it, or you're afraid of what's happening or what God is doing and what you're seeing, and you're on the outside, you feel like, looking in, come on. Like, you can cross over and enter into this place that is holy and where the Lord wants to move. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of man. You want to fear the Lord, not man, not each other. Don't look in and think that's not real. Taste and see that the Lord is good, because he is. He is in the business of setting you free. Don't be on, if you're on the fence, fall over. Come on. Come on.
So just please come up for prayer if you need prayer. Especially if you have fear. Please come up.
Jesus. I am a sinner.